You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Friday here in Eastern Iowa. Welcome in as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. We thank you for joining us here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Good show coming up for you for a Friday. KJ Pilcher will talk with us. We'll preview the state baseball tournament. Two sites. Carroll for 1A and 2A at Merchants Park, and Duane Banks Field in Iowa City for the 3A and 4A portion of the state baseball tournament. It gets underway on Monday, and we will talk about that with KJ and other things with Mr. Pilcher as well. We'll take a look at what's coming up this weekend. Some basketball news today, some big news for the Iowa State Cyclones, and a little bit of a look at baseball as we go into... I hate when they say the second half. It's not the second half because we're past the halfway pole. But in essence, it is the second half. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today. That is the phone line. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, also 319-366-1600. Presented each and every day by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com, celebrating their 75th year in business. And thank them for being the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program here on KGYM. Again, welcome aboard as we take you through a Friday edition of the show as we get you ready for the weekend. Mark joins me on a hazy and humid Friday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. How you doing?
Doing good, Scott. Good afternoon, boys. Good afternoon, everyone. And yeah, it could lead to a bit of rain later on, but we shall see. Hopefully not for some of the activities going on tonight.
Yeah. And no baseball and softball until next week, obviously, but a lot of racing around the area could be impacted. We'll see. We'll keep you updated because there is some pop-up rain that is starting to go off in our neck of the woods, northern Linn County right now with a pretty good thunderstorm just above Highway 20 between Independence and Manchester up in Delaware County and Buchanan County. There is a good cell up there, two good cells up there as well. So if we do get some weather information and some watches or warnings, we will be sure to pass that along to you. But as of right now, we do not. That could change. You never know with Mother Nature. 9 minutes past the hour of 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to KJ Pilcher coming up here in just a little bit. Baseball is back. Starting tonight on the Emil Sideway scoreboard, Mark will tell you about Midwest teams, where they are playing coming up this weekend. I am so looking forward to the Chicago White Sox. And who are they playing? I think the Braves. just the Atlanta Braves. That's all. In Atlanta, not that it matters a whole lot. I think there's more intrigue now on are people going to be traded, like Giolito and others from the White Sox here in the next couple of weeks. At least we're not poorer. Mark and I have a mutual friend, big Tennessee fan. We know Mr. Ryder, who's down in Knoxville. They are not having a good day today. Not having a good day today, Isaac.
Could have been a lot worse, though. If we're being like, I mean, they could have gotten a bowl ban, things like that. So I think as far as the punishment goes, yeah, it's a little bit harsh, but it could have been a little bit more severe too.
Could have been. Have we checked on our friend? Are we okay, Mark?
We have not. A fine of $8 million is walking around money for Tennessee. Well, and a 5-year probation, that's about it.
But they can go to bowl games. So, yes. And they've got a the old, hey, we got to give up some victories from the past years. Not a big deal. Coach Pruitt, back in the day, he was the one at the helm when all these allegations and now proven allegations came down. So didn't win and got probation. That's a double you don't want to have. That's like the grand slam of college athletics and college coaching right there.
No, but it's not the death sentence either. So I think Isaac was right. Could have been worse.
Could have been worse, but they're going to shell out some money to the NCAA. As I mentioned, baseball getting underway again tonight after the All-Star break, and some very good matchups over the weekend. Our poll question to KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Steve Anderson on Highway 1 West. That deals with the start of the pseudo second half of Major League Baseball, Mark.
Yeah, the question is, which current MLB division leader is least likely to win their division? Of course, there's six choices: Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Texas, Atlanta, Cincinnati, or the Dodgers. Go ahead and vote. KGYMRadio.com, and Cleveland has a slim half-game lead. Cincinnati narrowly in front of Milwaukee. I'd put those two in a basket right now.
Can you say all but Atlanta at this point?
Yeah, I mean, even Tampa Bay's susceptible with the way Baltimore is playing.
And with the pitching injuries that are starting to mount for the Rays. The great start that they got off to this year, still they're 23 games over 500, but over the last couple of months, they've been just above a 500 club. Not saying they're not playing good baseball, but some of those injuries are starting to catch up with Tampa Bay. I like the Orioles, my pseudo adopted Baltimore Orioles. Toronto, a lot of people thinking Vlad Guerrero is going to pick things up after he won the home run derby. We shall see. And you can, I mean, Boston's in last place, five games over 500 at this point. You cannot even dismiss the Red Sox. They are only a couple games out of a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, but I think it's too many teams to climb over. And, you know, it's a really good poll question because Tampa Bay is only two up. I mentioned Cleveland and Cincinnati. Texas really is only two up on Houston. Atlanta, I think you can put a bow on that. But the Reds only one up in the Central. And the Dodgers in a flat-footed tie with Arizona.
Cyclone Tim is saying his Reds, no pitching. I think they've got a fighting chance. They've got a one-game lead right now over Milwaukee. Those are the two teams in the NL Central over 500. Cubs are then six games behind Milwaukee for second place. Reds are exciting. Will the pitching hold up? And for Milwaukee, can they get some offense going? And can their pitching staff avoid injuries? They've got some injuries they're dealing with right now. A lot of questions in both central divisions. I'm just more concerned with, will somebody please finish over 500 in our precious AL Central, Mark?
They will.
You're confident. Somebody will. You're confident about, is that your final answer?
It is my final answer.
Okay. Isaac, do you think someone's going to finish over 500 in the AL Central?
I think one of the teams, meaning Cleveland or Minnesota, will probably make some changes before the deadline that might get them over 500. Not significant changes. I'm not saying like any big names, but maybe little tweaks that will elevate them just over.
This is a tough question. It really is. I mean, I like Texas, but Houston has a you can't dismiss Dusty Baker and the Astros. You just can't. The Dodgers have caught Arizona. They are percentage points ahead of the Diamondbacks right now, but the Giants are still there. You got to think San Diego is going to start to play good baseball sooner than later. One would think, anyway. Tough question. Tough question. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM as we take you through a 3 o'clock hour here. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, and check them out online at dupaco.com. And I think we've got some weather information that is coming down the line right now. And we do have a severe thunderstorm warning now for that rainstorm that is going through northern Linn County right now. So if you are in between around the Coggin area, Ryan, back toward Walker, Hopkinton, Parkersburg, or Prairieburg, toward Monticello, that cell now is part of a severe thunderstorm warning. So keep that in mind, as we will keep you updated on the weather information here during the Gym Class on the 3 o'clock hour. KJ Pilcher is going to be joining us coming up here in just a little bit. And if you'd like to weigh in as far as the poll question, love to hear from you. And that is 319-366-1600. That severe thunderstorm warning goes until 4 o'clock, by the way. So, again, a severe thunderstorm warning in effect. And that will go until 4 o'clock for that cell that is located in the northern part of Linn County. Give you the parameters on it right now. Again, southeastern Buchanan County, northwestern Jones County, southwestern Delaware, and northeastern Linn County. And that is a severe thunderstorm warning, and that is going to go until 4 o'clock. 60-mile-per-hour wind gust, quarter-size hail involved as far as this rainstorm is concerned, and it's moving to the east and slightly to the north right now and moving at a pretty good clip. So again, if we have more weather information, we will be sure to pass that along to you here on KGYM. 318, if you like to answer the poll question via the text line, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Besides Cyclone Tim, without any confidence in his beloved Cincinnati Reds, even with De La Cruz leading the way. One game lead for the Reds going into the second half of the baseball season. News today, Mark, out of college basketball in Ames, as one of the heralded, if not the most heralded, prospects and signees for Iowa State men's basketball, and T.J. Otzelberger, coming in, well, it was supposed to be next year, but that is not going to be the case, as J.T. Rock announced via his Twitter account that he is going to reclassify and join the Iowa State men's basketball team for the 2023-2024 season. The 7-1 four-star recruit out of Sioux Falls, Lincoln. I believe the number 14 center in the country, the number one player out of South Dakota, obviously, was scheduled to come in the 24-25 season. And a lot of people surprised by the announcement that he made last night.
None others than his Sioux Falls Lincoln teammates, who are left without their star for this coming season. 7-1, averaged 18 points, 10 rebounds, and was a force at the rim for Lincoln. But, yeah, he's he's got 3 online courses to complete, and then he's going to join the Cyclone basketball program. And I have mixed emotions about this, Scott. You know, on the one hand, I don't begrudge a kid for doing what's best for him. And obviously JT Rock believes this is what is best for him. But what if he ends up redshirting next year? you know, he's left his high school team in the lurch. I don't know. I go back and forth on this.
I'm with you. I have mixed feelings about it. I am not a fan of reclassification. I think it's ludicrous. I wasn't for it. If it's an Iowa play, I was not for Ryan Mulvey coming in early. Ryan Mulvey basically has not played in 2 years, especially bigs. They take a little bit longer to come into their own. Now, JT Rock is a guy that can not only post you up inside, but probably more known for his outside shooting ability. He's a guy, another 7'1" player who can go out and shoot threes on the perimeter, put the ball on the floor a little bit. He's going to change the way the game is played by Iowa State's opponents defensively, because they're going to have to take care of him on the perimeter. If that's what TJ Otzelberger wants to do, can also obviously go inside a little bit. A little thin, yeah, but they're going to get him in the weight room. He's going to put on some weight. And you talked about redshirting, and a lot of just taking a look at some of the comments from Iowa State fans for the most part, and some of them are saying that they would not be surprised if he does redshirt, which makes my mind explode almost, going, why in the world would you leave your teammates in high school early and then go redshirt and not even play? That's obviously, there's nothing official that is going to happen. I would think if he comes to Ames, which he is going to do, that he is going to get in. Iowa State's going to be young, but man alive, they are going to have some components. Omaha Biliou, of course, 5-star, one of the top players, McDonald's All-American. Ottawa Key is going to be coming in. You've got JT Rock now coming in. If they can get everything together and play as a unit, this Iowa State team could be really, really dangerous. And what is going to be, I can't even describe. I don't have the adjective for how good the Big 12 could be in basketball with the addition of Houston, with the Cincinnati, who's got a very good pedigree. BYU is no slouch coming out of the West Coast Conference. In Central Florida, they've got some work to do, but they have had good teams in the past to go along with what was considered the best conference in America last year.
Yeah, it is going to be a young Iowa State team, but if it can gel, you know, a lot of times basketball knows no age. That's very true of the Blue Bloods, who, you know, put freshmen on the floor right away and they produce. I'm not saying Iowa State will do that with some of these guys and Biliou and Rock, but you got Taman Lipsey with some experience at the point guard position to lead the way. And that's a pretty good starting point.
Still only a sophomore, only going into his sophomore campaign, but got all those starts under his belt last year. And Cyclone fans, your thoughts here at 319-366-1600. Are you happy about this? I would think you would be. Guarded optimism, maybe? I don't know. Hard to read the room. Your thoughts at 319-366-1600. By the way, Ralph, in a personal message via our text line to Cyclone Tim, saying, let's get behind the Big Red Machine. Them in Baltimore are fun to watch, and I hope they make the postseason. I would love a Baltimore in there in Cincinnati. That would be a fun World Series. I'm sorry, Spencer, I don't want to jinx your Milwaukee Brewers. Love to see the Brewers in there as well. 0905, why does TJ seem to recruit at a much higher level than Fran? Is it the conference he's recruiting to? Tough question to answer. I mean, you take a look at it. Fran McCaffrey has had 3 straight NBA drafts with a draft choice in it. That's facts. The 2 Murrays and Luka Garza. He's had a player of the year. They might not have the amount of stars behind their names coming in as what TJ Otzelberger has brought in, but I think both camps, Mark, are doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, I think so too, and I don't want to rate the two programs. And, you know, I think some years it's better in Ames. Other years it's better in Iowa City. A lot of times it's about the development. You know, you had a guy like, who's the kid from Oskaloosa that Iowa State took?
Oh, Xavier Foster.
Xavier Foster didn't pan out. And he was much ballyhooed as well. So, give and take.
And it's, like you said, it's what you do with the recruit once you get them on campus. And I think Iowa's got a very good recruiting class coming in. J.R. Koch's son going to be one of the stars of that particular class. The 20, what would that be? That would be the 24-25 group. Price Sanford, one of the best players in the state of Iowa, if not the best player in the state of Iowa. I think he won Mr. Basketball, if I recall. Bill U won. I'd have to look. That's been a while ago, 3 or 4 months. We're in summer, right? I got to think of these things. Back me up, Isaac.
It is hard to keep track of them. Yeah.
It is. Sanford and Ballou were both very, very good. 319-366-1600 here at 327. We're going to talk to KJ Pilcher coming up here in just a little bit. And we will preview state baseball, which is going to be getting underway at two venues. And we're going to talk about that with KJ here in just a little bit. Price Sanford, by the way, was Mr. Basketball this year. Although it could have been either one of them. Could have had 1A and 1B going this year. They're both that good. All right, Mark, going to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. And it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Eat local and try their burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily and wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar. Or bring the whole family for friendly service either on the patio or in the dining area. They are open at 4 o'clock each and every day except for Sunday. And we thank everybody at Emil's Hideaway online at emilshideaway.com.
Yes, indeed. The second portion of the MLB season is on tap tonight. Midwest teams Milwaukee at Cincinnati. Yes, your White Sox at Atlanta. Boston visits Wrigley Field to take on the Cubs. Minnesota out on the coast to play Oakland. And Tampa Bay at Kansas City. The Scottish Open, they are halfway through the tournament, the prelude to the Open Championship. Rory McIlroy with a 66 today. He is at minus 10, holds a one-stroke lead over Ben On, Tyrrell Hatton, and Tom Kim. Northwestern, less than a week after firing Pat Fitzgerald, has named David Braun its interim football coach. It also fired baseball coach Jim Foster for quote-unquote bullying and abusive behavior. And Isaac, you need to weigh in on this. Finally, UFC President Dana White is predicting the power slap is coming to mainstream sports very soon. I've seen this. It's between episodes of Cornhole on ESPN. We don't need this, do we?
What is this?
People just slap each other really hard. I don't quite understand it. I love combat sports. I love UFC. I enjoy boxing.
Are you going to be our UFC expert too?
I can be.
Okay.
But yeah, I enjoy combat sports. I've seen this and I don't, it's fun for like 30 seconds. And then afterwards, I'm kind of like, this is very silly. Like, I don't quite understand it at all. So I'd be very surprised if it caught on, like UFC caught on at least, if that's what he means by mainstream, if like how the UFC's status is now. I'd be shocked if it had the same level.
One person slaps the other guy, and that's the extent of the game, right?
Yeah, that from what I understand of it is they just go back and forth slapping each other and try not to fall down. It's, again, it's good for about 30 seconds, and you're like, wow, that's kind of silly. And then afterward, you're like, okay, is there anything else to this other than two dudes just slapping each other? At least in, like, boxing or MMA, there's some other, you know, levels to it where you have a defensive sort of side of it. With the slap league, it's just they're slapping and hitting each other in the face without any, you know, resistance. They'll chalk their hands up and stuff and then whack each other over the head or whatever.
You know what? Mark told me earlier today that cricket is coming to America.
Yes, I saw that.
I will watch cricket before I watch power slapping.
I think I might be. Again, I love combat sports. I want to make that very clear. I think I might be more inclined to watch cricket than the slap league.
Wonderful.
Count on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard.
Ah, helping out. Helping out. Kyle says it's literally CTE happening in front of your eyes. Stupid and unsafe. I probably won't be tuning in. Weather information going on right now. As a matter of fact, we got a severe thunderstorm warning, which goes until 4 o'clock for southeastern Buchanan County, northwestern Jones County, southwestern Delaware County, as well as northeastern Linn County. That is in effect until 4 o'clock. Also, until 4 o'clock, I want to make sure they've actually extended the severe thunderstorm warning. And now it goes, let's see, basically northern Jones County as well as southwestern Dubuque County. And that for that same complex of thunderstorms. So that goes until 4 o'clock. And if you're in northern Linn County, northern Jones County, et cetera, go ahead and maybe get inside for a little bit because there is some inclement weather that is going to be coming your way here over the next hour. We'll take a break. Come back. KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is going to join us. We have state baseball to talk about and maybe a little wrestling. You never know. Got to get some wrestling in. So we'll do that when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have clouds building in, but it will still be warm and humid with temperatures in the mid-80s. As we head into this afternoon, there's a chance for scattered showers and storms. Some may be strong with gusty winds and hail. As we head into this evening, we'll have some spotty showers lingering. Clouds will then gradually clear, and temperatures drop down into the mid-60s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with temperatures in the mid-80s and a chance for a stray shower or storm. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie@kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter Nevada, play from anywhere. Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, where you make five picks against the spread each week with 100% payback. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Find your style with Patriot Lighting and get 11% off everything at Menards. Check out our lighting showroom and give any room a coordinated look. Patriot Lighting is available in so many unique styles and finishes. We have over 300 stock lights priced under $100. Plus, you'll get 11% off all Patriot Lighting. Good through July 16th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you can find everything you need at prices you can afford, that's totally Target. It's that feeling when quality good and gather ingredients on the barbecue bring family around the table. Or when favorite day after practice snacks let you celebrate the whole team for less. It's when saving more on Up and Up sunscreen means more fun in the sun. And when Target Circle Rewards program gives you more perks on what you buy most and is always free to join, that's totally Target.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, get up to 40% off select bathroom faucets and vanities. Plus, buy Southwire Romex Simple 12-gauge indoor wire at our everyday low price of $109. Head to your local Lowe's or visit us at Lowe's.com for more deals you can't beat. Because Lowe's knows savings, Lowe's knows pros. Valid 7/6 through 7/12 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. U.S. only.
Back in the gym class here at KGYM at 3:36, Friday edition of the show. And we will be talking with KJ Pilcher coming up here in just a moment or two. And again, the weather going on right now. We have some severe thunderstorms that are going through the area, and we do have some rain. Northern Linn County, northern Jones County right now, that is where the severe thunderstorm warning is located. So if you're in those areas till 4 o'clock, and take some shelter at this time. 319-366-1600. We're going to get KJ Pilcher on the phone coming up here in just a couple of moments and speak with him and find out about state baseball as that gets underway coming up on Monday. You hope for good weather at state baseball and state softball, Mark.
You do, and we're at two different sites in Iowa City and Carroll. You could get really nice weather one place and iffy weather another. So hopefully the week goes off, not only these two sites, but Fort Dodge without a hitch in the state softball tournament.
Yeah, because if you get some rain, and there have been years where rain has plagued both softball and base. They haven't been simultaneous for a while. And unfortunately, because there are a handful of teams that have qualified for both. And hopefully they don't play at the same time, because that would be logistically very bad for the schools. So there we go. KJ Pilcher, kind enough to join us on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM on a hot, humid Friday in eastern Iowa. You got your, let's see, are you going to Carroll or are you going to Iowa City, KJ?
I will be heading to Carroll. Jeff Johnson will be down at Iowa City. I always kind of elect to go to Carroll just because I feel bad for making JJ drive up there for the week and stuff. And he's pretty familiar with the 3A, 4A team, so I don't mind heading up to Carroll. Don't mind that area. So it works out for everybody.
Yeah. Now, do you have a, I don't know what the situation is at Merchants Park. Do you have to sit outside? And if so, do you have a nice shade umbrella ready to go for you?
So if you've ever seen Merchants Park, they have a nice stadium. Think of a really lower-scaled Vets Memorial stadium before the renovations, you know, the stadium that we grew up with.
Yes.
And stuff. So they have a little bit of about three rows for press row seating outside with a little bit of a table. Of course, with the smaller schools, it's usually dominated with radio play-by-play guys that have followed them for the whole season. And then they also have a small rec center just across the parking lot for an air-conditioned place to set up and actually work from there if the schedule allows. So you kind of have a shaded area to cover the game, and then a place to cool down and write if you're not covering back-to-back games.
Beautiful.
So it's a nice little setup. It really is, and I think the stadium is a perfect size for 1A and 2A crowds. You know, the past couple of years, seeing the crowds kind of filter in, and it gives it a really good atmosphere for those schools.
Well, you get started right away on Monday with 1A action. And, Carol, you got Southwind and Lisbon playing. Tell us about those two teams and their matchups.
Well, first off, looking at Lisbon, this is their third straight trip to Carroll, the first time in school history that they've gone three straight years in a row. Of course, you know, a lot of these players have been part of that team and contributors ever since they were underclassmen. And, you know, they haven't gotten out of the quarterfinals. So that's one thing that I know they're really, really focused on. You know, they had a little bit of a tight postseason with a couple games that, you know, they got by Easton Valley. You know, I think they needed extra innings to win that in the district final. They beat Belle Plaine by a couple runs, but never really kind of pulled away in that one. And then they beat GMG, who was a Cinderella story of I know there are some upsets, and we can talk about that in a second. But GMG, you know, they started, I think, like a 9-14 or something, and came out of a district that had number 5 Don Bosco. And Lisbon won 7-0, really controlled that game. Of course, Hunter Clark, he's been the guy that started the last two state quarterfinal games for the Lions, and he won two games in this postseason, and I'm guessing he's going to get the ball here against Burlington Notre Dame. Burlington Notre Dame ranked 8th. Lisbon 9th. Of course, they're that 4-5 matchup, so anything really can go, you know, either way. Burlington Notre Dame is 26-6 coming in, and you know they came out of a pretty tough grouping that included Hillcrest, you know, the old IMS teams, and you know they've got pretty good balance at pitching and a standout hitter in Spencer Brent. But, you know, Lisbon has a really good balance from top to bottom. Obviously, Hunter Clark, Cohen Camus, you know, they're 12-0 combined for Lisbon. So Lisbon has two really good arms that, you know, they can throw at Burlington Notre Dame. I think it'll be a good one. Lisbon is 2-0 all time against, you know, the Nikes. And, you know, I think they're really hoping third time's a charm here going up there. And, you know, I think the last few times they've lost to the eventual state champions in that quarterfinal round. So they've got a lot of experience back. They've got the talent. You know, Landon Stolte, one of their top hitters, 40 hits, hitting over 440 this year, leads the team with 36 RBIs. Alex Bach, 41 hits and batting 423. So they have a potent lineup and some good arms. And, boy, that that first game will be a doozy, but they certainly can come through and make the semis. And, you know, the first game, you know, Southwind is a team going back, you know, they're returning to state for the second time, back-to-back times, and this is their fifth trip overall. They've actually qualified real quietly 4 times in the last 5 seasons. So Alex Smith has got some really good things brewing up at Southwind, but boy, they've got a tough matchup with Kingsley Pearson, a semifinalist from a year ago. The Panthers are 27-2 coming in. But with that being said, Southwind really took it to Northwind in the sub-state final. You know, they jumped out to an early lead. I think they were up 5-0 in the first and really kind of put Northwind on their heels. They've got a real good core of talented players. When you look at Keegan Streeter and Allstater from a year ago, he's one of their leaders on the mound and at the plate. Then you've got Jamie Kennan, who's 7-1 overall. He's got 35 hits, hitting over 315. You know, they have got that balance between good pitching and solid, good offense that they're – don't count them out against Kingsley Pearson. And, of course, we've seen some of the top teams fall trying to get to state. Southwind comes out on top and makes it to the semifinals, I would not be surprised whatsoever. I think they have the ability to pull off one of those notable upsets in the first round.
You mentioned upsets, upsets, upsets. Three of the top four number ones went down, and Western Dubuque held on by a run to win in 3A. And like Mark and I were talking, it's the nature of baseball. It's the toughest sport to get to the state tournament, no matter how good you are. Because you could run into a team that you know, may have lost 10 or 12, but they've got one or two really good pitchers, and they can carry them.
Yeah, and that's the you hit on a really good point. It's, baseball is such a fickle game, and just about anything and everything can happen during a game. But in high school, with the pitch count restrictions and, you know, as much as they kind of stuff in a short amount of time, you know, it's even that much more true. In the postseason. And I think you saw that for a little bit, even though, you know, when you look at, you know, Ames, who opens up with Iowa City High in the first round, they beat Joey Oakey. So, you know, they had one of the best pitchers in the state that they were facing. I'm sure everybody in, you know, in Ankeny thought Centennial was a lock to get through. You know, you've got your ace who's committed to the University of Iowa going and, you know, Ames, punched out a 5-1 victory, and a lot of that was against, you know, Ankeny's ace, Oakey. And then, you know, you look at what Pella Christian did. Pella Christian opened the postseason with a losing record and then knocked off Van Meter, who's, you know, can't remember how many state titles they've won here in recent years and had that big, long winning streak. And, you know, that just, like you said, teams can get hot in baseball, and confidence can be a huge thing. We've seen that already, and for these teams going, you know, David has just as good a shot as Goliath in a lot of these matchups.
And Dyersville Beckman gets that Pella Christian team in the first round, and you can't have Beckman without Cascade. We know that. And then Williamsburg also in action on Tuesday. You're going to have a busy day.
Yeah, and you know, that's fun. Dyersville Beckman, they're, you know, I guarantee you they're not looking past Pella Christian or trying to see who they might face in the semis, right, even though they're the top seed. That's an eye-opener when you realize you're facing a team that knocked off Van Meter, who you know, who beat Beckman in the state semifinals last year. So they know exactly what they're facing here in the opening round. For Beckman, it's their 20th trip. And the first one under Ryan Mabe, a former Beckman baseball player who's taken over for Fred Martin. Of course, Fred Martin was a longtime assistant for Tom Jink Jr., the late Tom Jink Jr. And I think Mabe's just the fourth coach in like 60 years in Beckman's baseball tradition. So that's a pretty neat situation there. But, you know, you got Nate Offerman, their senior pitcher, 9-0. You know, he's been a staple for Beckman the last few years. Of course, a state golf champ, you might appreciate that, Dukie. But, you know, and he really was a leader against Anamosa, where they won 8-2 in the sub-state final. On the mound, you know, he really is kind of that fiery, emotional leader for Beckman. And I bet that he's on the mound for that quarterfinal against Pella Christian, who counters with Corbin Westerkamp, who went 7 2/3 innings against Van Meter, didn't give up a hit, and had 11 Ks. So, you know, Beckman knows they've got a fight there, you know, right away. So they'll be locked in. And you mentioned Cascade. This is the first time in school history that they have back-to-back trips. It's his sixth overall. Last year, a little bit of a disappointing loss to Mid Prairie in the first round. They bring a lot of guys back there. And, you know, when you look at the pitchers that they have, especially Jace Reinke, who's really eaten up a lot of innings for them, and Cade Rausch. Cade Rausch is 5-0, Reinke 5-2, both ERAs coming in under 1.7. So they've got the pitching against Woodward Granger. I don't know too much about Woodward Granger other than, you know, they've won 20 games in Central Iowa, so you know they've got to have a pretty decent team there. The one that really intrigues me is Williamsburg. Williamsburg, they've kind of come on here. They've knocked off number 8 West Marshall 1-0 in a thriller in the sub-state final. Got a heck of a performance from Trey O'Neill on the mound, who went 8 innings, gave up one hit, struck out 12. But Williamsburg was a team at the beginning of the season, had them as a team to watch, and then about the midway through the season, they really hit the skids and had a long losing streak. They entered the postseason with a losing record. They knocked off the top seed in their district, Pleasantville, 5-1. Pleasantville was ranked 10th. Then they followed up with that win against West Marshall. So the Raiders are a team. They've got Underwood in the first round. Underwood's 23-3. But Williamsburg is a team to kind of keep an eye on. You talked about teams getting hot, Scott. That's a team that seems to be clicking on all cylinders, and that might be one of those teams that you kind of mentioned. You know, with baseball, anything can happen. They're rolling right now. That might be a game to kind of watch and see if they can't keep things going and pull out a win and make the semis. And this is their first trip since 2013. So, you know, they're going to be fired up for it.
Yeah. A couple more minutes here with KJ Pilcher. Let's go over to Duane Banks Field, 3A and 4A. You got Marion representing the Metro. You got Liberty and City High in Class 4A. Really, even without Ankeny Centennial, 4A with some very, very good teams. 3A is loaded too. So you win that one of those two classes, you're going to be doing something right.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for a long time, really, I've always thought 3A has one of the most balanced fields and some really good teams. I think this is another one where, you know, obviously Western Dubuque is a favorite, right? You know, they're the defending state champs. They are the only number one team that made it all the way through. You've got guys like Brett Harris, you know, Isaac Fenn, Jake Goodman. I mean, they've got a ton of talent offensively and on the mound. But then you look at North Polk, who's the number two seed, and that's a team that, you know, they very well could win it. You look at Marion. Marion, you've got Miles Davis, Caden Fromelt. You know, they've won 30 games in what some might have thought could be a rebuilding season a little bit after not making it last year and losing some guys. And they had some injuries. And here they still have 30 wins and the number three seed. And then you got Wallard on that top half. And that semifinal possibly between Western Dubuque and Dubuque-Wallard is going to be a fun one if they both get through that first round. So even though Western Dubuque's one of the favorites, they're going to have their hands full in the semis if they face Wallert there. So you've got four, you know, Ballard's the number five seed. I think we have a little bit of a drop-off after that. But, you know, you've got four really good teams with a shot at a title in 3A. And then when you look at 4A, you know, big surprise with the two top teams being knocked off. You know, I kind of thought Prairie was invincible, but Liberty beat them 4-2 in the sub-state final. Liberty really coming on strong late. You know, they had a win over Marion right at the end of the postseason. So, you know, that's two top five teams in their respective classes. They've beaten Ubi Martinez, a first-year head coach, and the Lightning making their second appearance after getting knocked out in last year's quarterfinals. So, you know, they've got their hands full with Johnston, obviously, but, you know, a good accomplishment for them to get through. And, you know, they've shown that they can knock off some of the best teams around. So they'll look to keep that rolling. And they've got three really good offensive players at the top of the lineup that leads things with Ryan Schmierer, Luke Ramsey, and Cooper Hughes. Those guys are on. Liberty will be a tough out.
And they didn't have an all-conference player, first or second team.
Yeah, see, that's really, really interesting. And, of course, you know, sometimes those things are so subjective. But Liberty's really a case of they had some really real big growing pains through the first half. And Ubi Martinez said this after the Davenport Central win in the semis, substate semis. He said, our weaknesses at the beginning of the year have become our strengths. So they've really made some huge gains offensively, defensively, changed some lineup things around. I think they're a little bit different team, and, you know, the last third of the season is where they've really showed their mettle a little bit.
Yep, and then City High gets Ames, that Ames team that knocked off Centennial. So
yeah, and what we said with Beckman, that's going to hold true for City High, too. They're not going to be looking past, okay, you know, this team, Ankeny Centennial's not here. We got Ames. Look to the semis. I guarantee you they're well aware of what Ames can do after that win against Centennial, and, you know, they're going to be looking just at the Cyclones first and not worrying about who comes out of that other quarterfinal with Southeast Polk and Cedar Falls.
Yep. Cy-Hawk Trophy will not be on the line, the little Cy-Hawk Trophy. No, wait till the fall.
Yeah, we're used to this matchup sometime in September, right?
Yeah, on both the high school and the college front. So yeah. Ames City High getting together there again. Hey, buddy, thanks. Have a great week in Carroll, and we wish JJ a great week in Iowa City. Always great talking with you, and take care, man.
Thank you. Pleasure's mine, guys. Thank you for everything.
You bet. KJ Pilcher, read his stuff at thegazette.com, and give him a follow on Twitter. And going to wrap things up here for a Friday edition of the show. It will be you and you and Isaac on Monday and Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday. Cal Eldred will join us coming up on Tuesday, or join you guys anyway. So you're in capable hands. You guys have Isaac, you're in great hands. You guys have a great weekend, and we will talk to everybody coming up next week. How's that sound?
Sounds great to me, Scott. Enjoy the time off.
All right, we will. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape Cod style home.
It's a classic look.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car.